We are live from Washington, D.C. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to have a great broadcast today on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I'm in Washington, D.C., just spoke a couple hours ago at the Watchman on the Wall Family Research Council Conference. Great speakers, great lineup, leaders from around the country wanting to make a difference in their nation. But we're not focusing on moral and cultural issues today. We're focusing on Israel, the Jewish people, what's happening in the world around us relating to Israel and the Jewish people, and reaching Jewish people with the good news of Jesus, the Messiah. And in a few minutes, we're going to get a call from the European Director of Jews for Jesus, Avi Snyder. We're going to talk about his new book, Jews Don't Need Jesus and Other Misconceptions. If you've got a Jewish-related question for me, if you're a Jewish person listening and you don't believe that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah, or whoever you are, if you've got a question about the Hebrew Bible or Hebrew language or Jewish tradition or Israel and the peace process or anything else related to that, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. A lot to cover today as well. Linda Sarsour is a Muslim woman. She is an activist who has been known for some very hateful and divisive comments. She is scheduled to speak at CUNY, the City University of New York, for the commencement just coming up now. And there is a protest rally in front of the university today with Pamela Geller and Milo Yiannopoulos speaking out against her being at the commencement. We've got some clips from that rally, which just took place. I was just listening to some of it immediately before the broadcast today. So we'll talk about that. The mayor of Manchester going on record loudly and clearly saying that the terrorist bomber, the suicide bomber that so ripped into the heart of that city and that nation, that he is actually not a Muslim. He's a terrorist, not a Muslim, and he will not divide the city. Again, a tragic error, a tragic misunderstanding, one that literally is deadly. No, not all Muslims are terrorists. No, the fact is most Muslims are not terrorists, but terror and Islam do go hand in hand. And unless, as we stressed all this week, you rightly identify the ideology, unless you rightly identify what you are dealing with and why, you will not be able to combat it. Therefore, more lives will be lost. We'll talk about all that later in the broadcast. Have you watched my video presentation on the real Jewish Messiah, 20 minutes long? It's on our website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and on our YouTube channel, of course, AskDrBrown. This is part of a virtual video debate that I'm doing with counter-missionary Rabbi Yisrael Blumenthal. We both posted on the same day a 20-minute video as to the real Jewish Messiah. Now, about, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks from now, we'll each post a rebuttal to one another's video. And then about a month after that, a response to the rebuttal. And you'll have 1 hour of his argumentation, 1 hour of my argumentation. And we believe this is a good way to get our viewpoints out loudly and clearly. I feel very confident that my rebuttal to Rabbi Blumenthal's video will be clear and strong, and that our scriptural presentation is clear and strong. But we'll let you judge that for yourself. Big question, though. Maybe Jesus is okay for the Gentiles, but not for the Jews. Could it be? We'll talk about that when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. This is Michael Brown, live from Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be joined now by Avi Snyder, European Director of Jews for Jesus. He's got a new book, Jews Don't Need Jesus and Other Misconceptions, Reflections of a Jewish Believer. I gave it a hearty endorsement. It has a foreword by John Piper, actually an excellent, important foreword by John Piper. A lot of relevant issues to talk about today. So, Avi, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Where are you right now?
I'm calling from Budapest. I live in Budapest. So okay. I hope you can hear me okay. I hope the line is clear enough.
Yeah, it's an excellent connection.
Good.
Yeah, I've only been to Hungary a couple of times, but what Budapest is a stunning city.
It really is. It's one of the most beautiful cities I know. And my wife and I have lived here for about 5 years, and we just love it. And there's so much great Jewish history here. You know, it used to be, and still is in many ways, very much one of the Jewish cities of Central and Eastern Europe. So I love being here.
Yeah, and the great synagogue there, isn't that one of the largest in Europe?
That's correct. It's the largest one in Europe, if I'm remembering my facts correctly, and it's the second largest in the world. And it is stunning itself.
Amazing.
So you'll have to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been over a couple of times with Faith Church, pastored by Chandra Nemeth, and he has a tremendous heart for Israel and a great connection with the leadership of Israel as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
So here, I'm in D.C., you're in Budapest, Hungary. Our engineering the show there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's being transmitted by satellite via Dallas, Texas, and it's all real-time, amazingly enough.
My goodness, all right, so, and it's all with Dixie cups and strings, yes?
Yeah, there it is. Okay, Avi, we often hear from our people, Jesus is fine for the Gentiles. But Jews don't need Jesus. We have our own covenant. We have our own Torah. We have our own way to please God and live for God. If we're obedient to that, we repent and pray for mercy where we fall short, then we're good. And if Jesus is good for the Gentiles, and look, you know, Mike Brown, you were shooting heroin at 15, and Jesus was good for you. And, you know, this guy was an atheist, and this lady was a prostitute. And if Jesus helped them, great. But Jews don't need Jesus. How do you respond to that?
Well, of course, there are a lot of ways that you can respond. The best way, I think, is to really go directly to Yeshua himself. Jesus said to a Jewish audience at the Jewish holiday of Passover, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's a very exclusive claim, and he said it to an entirely Jewish audience, to the apostles at Passover. Similarly, we read in the book of Acts that Peter, the apostle to our people, the apostle to the Jewish people, said to an exclusively Jewish audience, to the Sanhedrin, you know, not to the Hague, but to the Jewish high court, he said, there is no name given under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Yeshua. So the claims that Jesus made about himself and the claims that the apostles and all of the disciples echoed are very exclusive claims. It's not a popular thing to do anymore, but the claims are exclusive. So the issue is whether or not they're true or false. If they are true, then, and if they're true, let's say for Gentiles, if you want to say that Jesus is the way of salvation for the Gentiles, well, if you say that, which is true, then it has to be true for the people to whom he spoke.
Mm. Yeah, and again, on a practical level, he didn't come to introduce a new religion called Christianity. Yeshua, throughout his ministry, is recognized as the one of whom Moses and the prophets spoke, and he clearly said that he lived, died, and rose from the dead in fulfillment of prophecy, and his followers recognized him as the Messiah. So if he's not the Messiah of Israel, then he's not the Savior of the Gentiles, right?
Exactly. And you know, Scripture itself, you know, even just the Hebrew Scripture itself makes it very, very clear that there's one way of salvation and there's one Savior for all people. One of my favorite verses in the Hebrew Scriptures is Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, where the Father, you know, is speaking to the Son, and he says, it's an easy thing for you to be my salvation, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, to the Gentiles, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. There are not two Saviors. There are not two ways of salvation. There's one Savior. There's one Redeemer. He's the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, and he's for us Jews, and he's also the light of salvation for the nations.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's both and, otherwise it's neither nor. Avi, you've been on the front lines of Jewish ministry since the Lord saved you in 1977. And one thing about Jews for Jesus is they're always very practical. The tracts that are given out, the literature, the training, it's practical. And that's what your new book is. It's a practical book dealing with common misconceptions. Why did you write it, and who did you write it for?
Well, first of all, thanks. I want to thank you so much for your very gracious and supportive endorsement, as well as for your very kind words now. I hope it's practical. I wrote it because, unfortunately, in Europe, where I live, especially in the UK, in the U.S. and in Germany, especially in Germany, for different reasons, there's a teaching that's gaining more and more popularity. And it's not just a false and wrong teaching, it's a dangerous teaching. And the teaching is essentially what we've been talking about so far, which is the notion that Jesus is not necessary for us Jews, that we Jews don't need Jesus. And there are many different theological arguments that are given to try to put forth that notion. I've heard these arguments over the course of many, many years, especially here in Europe, but I have to admit I've heard them in the States and I've heard them in many places. And to be honest with you, it really breaks my heart because it's usually put forth by two types of people, in terms of people claiming to be Christians, two types of Christians, those who don't really believe in the authority of the scriptural records itself. So they don't take the scriptures at their word. Mm-hmm. But it's also being voiced by people who claim to be theologically, conservatively minded followers of Yeshua. And they say that they do it in love. They say that they do it out of respect for our people, that they don't want to cause offense. They don't want to make anybody angry or whatever. But it's postured as though it's a statement of respect and deference and love. The claim is that because we're chosen, God has a separate way of salvation for us. So really all a Christian needs to do is just have a deep love for the Jewish people, and that's sufficient. And there's no need to ever tell us Jewish people about Jesus because essentially he's not necessary. It's dangerous. I wrote the book not as a diatribe, but to be honest, I really had to check my anger. Mm-hmm. I wrote it in the hopes of correcting in a direct, loving way those who have fallen victim to that very, very dangerous teaching. It's dangerous for believers because once you say that God has a separate way of salvation for any people, ultimately you're going to say that he has a separate way of salvation for all people. But it's dangerous for our people. It's dangerous for our spiritual well-being. If Jesus' words are true, if he's the only way of salvation, then to say that there's another way of salvation, or even worse, to deliberately withhold that message of salvation from our people specifically because we're Jews, that's not an act of love, and that's not an act of respect. That's probably the most anti-Jewish action that a genuine Christian can commit.
Yeah, and if not for many of us, if not for Christians reaching out to us with the good news, we never would have come to faith. We would have been lost in our sins and died in our sins. And I understand, especially in the aftermath of the Holocaust, there was deep grief in the hearts of many Christians or professing Christians, be they nominal or real. They looked at the horrible history of anti-Semitism in church history, especially in Europe. They saw how this prepared the way for the Holocaust. And you could say in some cases it was an over-repentance. And they went from one extreme to the other, the one extreme of damning the Jews to hell as a cursed race, and now the other extreme of saying, well, Jews don't need the gospel. So yeah. We've got some more misconceptions to cover, and we'll go through a bunch of them when we come back. The new book, it is practical, it is clear, it is edifying and important. Jews Don't Need Jesus and Other Misconceptions, Reflections of a Jewish Believer by Avi Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, with a great foreword by John Piper. We'll be right back. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown coming away live from Washington, D.C. My guest, Avi Snyder, author of the new book, Jews Don't Need Jesus and Other Misconceptions. He is based now in Budapest in Hungary as the European Director of Jews for Jesus. Hey, Avi, what's happening with Jewish ministry in Europe right now? So much upheaval and shaking and so much social tension. What's going on in the spiritual realm?
Well, there are a lot of exciting things going on. First of all, there is a genuine responsiveness among quite a number of Jewish people on a lot of different levels. I'll tell you something that will probably amaze you. In Budapest, where I live, we have had the joy of seeing quite a number, I wouldn't say a large number, but a significant number of Holocaust survivors give their hearts to the Lord. These are people who, for the most part, they were children who went through the Budapest ghetto, and now at this late stage in their life, they've opened their hearts to the gospel.
Wow.
We know that for the last 30 years, Russian-speaking Jewish people, wherever they are, whether it's the former Soviet Union, whether it's now in Germany or even in Israel, so many of them have been extremely responsive to the gospel. That's very exciting. There is, of course, always the horror, the sin of anti-Semitism. It's like a thread through so much of European history and European culture. But I'll tell you, it's one of the reasons why it's so necessary for Jewish followers of Yeshua, like Jews for Jesus, to be open and to be identifiably as Jews proclaiming the gospel. In fact, it's like a redemption of history, you know, because when we Jewish believers in Jesus, when we Messianic Jews proclaim the gospel openly, unashamedly, as Jews, not only to our own people, but to Europeans, people understand that this is not natural. When we come back to the cities where we died, proclaiming God's message of life, this is life from the dead. We have a moral obligation, and we have such a strategic advantage just because of the history.
Incredible. Incredible. God is an amazing redeemer. So, Avi, back to your book. Let's just go through a few other misconceptions. Some of what you deal with. Jews are already saved because they're natural, elected, and chosen. God's covenants with Abraham and Moses are good enough. Jews will be judged only according to the light they've received. Jesus is Israel's only but anonymous Savior. Oh, what's that one about?
I remember overhearing a conversation with Moshe Rosen, who was the founder of Jews for Jesus, and we went to visit a professor. Because Moshe had heard that the professor was waffling on the issue of whether or not Jesus is the only Savior. So Moshe asked him directly, do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation for Jews and for non-Jews alike? And the gentleman said yes. And that seemed to end the conversation. But then Moshe asked a follow-up question, which I never would have thought to ask. He said, but do you believe that we Jews need to know that it's Jesus who saves us?
Mm.
And the gentleman did indeed waffle. He balked on that one. It's a comfortable notion to think that, yes, Jesus is the only Savior. That's what he said. But we Jews don't need to know about that. We'll find out about that later on. But there are so many reasons scripturally for why that just can't possibly be true. The most obvious one to me is the fact that Yeshua himself, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he answered first by quoting the Shema, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Well, how can we love someone with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength if we don't even know who he is? Mm. It makes no sense. In the law, in Deuteronomy, you know, in Deuteronomy 18, we're told that there'll be a prophet like Moses. We know that that prophet like Moses is Jesus, is Yeshua. And we are commanded in the law to heed what he says, and if we don't, then we will be held accountable. Well, how can we heed what he says? How can we obey his voice? How can we follow him if we don't even know who he is? It's an absurd notion that Jesus is an anonymous savior. It goes contrary to everything that God says about himself, about his character. He says, I've not spoken in secret. He wants to be known. Over and over again, he tells us. He wants us to know.
You know, Avi, as I hear you speak, and then as I look at the various chapters in the book, Jewish people can't believe because they're hard and blind and veiled from seeing the truth. Or the flip side, well, all Israel will be saved eventually, so we don't need to witness now. And well, you know, after the Holocaust, we can't share the gospel. And you know, Hitler was after Jewish bodies, and we're after Jewish souls. We're worse than Hitler. You realize from every different angle, there's an effort by Satan himself to stop the church from sharing the good news with the Jewish people. I don't want to be conspiratorial, but you got to trace it back to the devil.
Well, no, you know, what you said is really, it's the crucial issue. People have to understand that anything aimed against our people ultimately is a satanic attack, but you have to understand why. It's not just aimed against us. It's aimed against the spread of the gospel worldwide. I firmly believe that the scriptures teach that the only call that Israel has received, the only call that we ever received was to be an evangelistic light to the nations. I think it's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles, always brought the gospel first to his fellow Jews, because we can't proclaim the gospel unless we believe the gospel. We can't believe the gospel unless we hear the gospel. And we can't hear the gospel unless someone brings it to us first. The best way to interfere with the cause of world evangelization is either through hatred or mistaken love to keep the gospel away from us.
Yeah, absolutely so. And in fact, in the name of, well, we don't want to be anti-Semitic and offend Jews, we're being anti-Semitic. People are being anti-Semitic by withholding the water of life from Jewish people. And, you know, exactly. One thing, Jews for Jesus has always been unashamed. It was a Moshe Rosen strategy. We'll just put it right out there. And so not only did you deal with all the theological issues, 18 different issues, all practical, Gentiles can't witness to Jews and things like that, but you deal with the real reasons for choosing not to speak, the fear of offending and the fear of rejection, the fear of man. So that's really at the heart of it. We've only got about a minute, but just comment on that briefly.
Well, that really is the real issue. You know, I like to say that our theology is fathered by our feelings. You know, we choose what we want to believe, and then we build our theology around it. We are so many believers are fearful of hurting us. But, you know, the scripture says that the kisses of an enemy are sweet, but the wounds of a friend, are faithful. I tell believers in Jesus, if they want to love us, they should love us with a broken heart the way Paul loved us.
Yes.
They should bless us with the gospel, and they should pray the way Paul prayed for us, for the salvation of our people.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Friends, get the book by Avi Snyder, Jews Don't Need Jesus and Other Misconceptions. Get it out. Share it with your friends. As a Jew, I'm asking you, share the gospel. Hey, Avi, keep up the great work. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for spending this Thursday with us, this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. I finally got around to getting a DNA test. Yeah, just curious to see whatever origins history I could find out through it. Nancy had gotten hers a few years back, and I thought, yeah, I might as well do it. And I was asking myself, what if I found out that my Jewish blood was not as thick as I thought it was, or did not go back as far as it did? How would that affect my identity or mindset? Because I always say that our primary identity is being in Yeshua, being in Jesus, not primarily Jew or Gentile. That would be down the list a little bit. First and foremost, our identity being sons and daughters of God, and then most fundamentally after that, male, female, then after that, Jew, Gentile. But it turns out that as I understood, thoroughly Jewish blood, and it was about 90% Ashkenazi, which would have been Eastern European. And from what I've read about it, interestingly enough, and I am not an expert on DNA. I want to make that very clear. In no way, shape, size, or form. So I'm just repeating some things that I read that seemed to be coming from reliable sources. But Ashkenazi Jews, according to this DNA theory, were traceable back about 2,500 years ago to times of Israel, so 500 years before the time of Jesus, the people of Judah and Israel, and then having fleeing, being exiled, moving to another part of the world, and a community that would have originally been several million had what was called a bottleneck, where it became reduced to very low numbers, and then with some key families, then began to reproduce and expand. And obviously, there would have been people that married into Judaism, married into the Jewish people. Hence, you have the Eastern European look, Caucasian look, as opposed to a Middle Eastern look. But that would explain some of the history of the Ashkenazi Jews, but traced well back into several hundred years before the time of Jesus in the Middle East, but the great explosion of the population happening in Eastern Europe some centuries later. And then about 10% is Sephardic Jewish, or Sephardi Jewish, which is North Africa, Spain. So there would have been some Jews that were from other Jews from other parts of the world that married into the lineage. So again, just found that interesting to look back at that history, confirm what I pretty well knew just because of ancestors coming from Eastern Europe, but it was just interesting to look at that. And then you think, okay, what if, in fact, there's a chain going all the way back to Moses or all the way back to the 12 tribes of Israel? Is that important in God's sight to preserve that change? Yeah, man, it's 90% Ashkenazi, 10% Sephardic. And then like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent that was just, you know, something else in Europe. So it was basically 100% Jewish blood, 90% Ashkenazi, 10% Sephardic. But I do believe that Jewish identity is important in God's sight, not in a saving way, but in a covenantal way. I do believe it is important and that it should be passed on, and that it is part of our witness, but our primary witness is, as Avi Snyder said, being a light to the nations. All right, I will get into some of the political issues and some of the things having to do with Islam,